Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Behind the Black. Bob Zimmerman. It's happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Your donations and subscriptions are most welcome because we've got some serious SpaceX to sort out. Bob, a very good evening to you. SpaceX to the rescue. Maybe. SpaceX is coming forward with an idea about its Dragon capsule, the marooned, it's the impolite version, the waiting astronauts on ISS returning to Earth. Sort this out for me, Bob. My calendar's all marked up. Good evening to you.
All right. Well, first I want to say that your listeners have come to the rescue of Behind the Black. I want to thank them for their donations during my February fundraising drive. They always come through whenever I do this. I thank you for plugging my website, John. And so thank you. And so now the rescue SpaceX, the story here is a little complicated. You know, the two Starliner astronauts were supposed to come down in something like a week to anywhere 6 weeks back last summer. NASA made the decision not to bring them back on Starliner because they had worries about the thrusters. It did return safely, but they were up still on ISS. And so NASA decided on the next crew mission to launch to ISS in the spring, they would take only two astronauts up, and so that crew could then come home. The two Starliner astronauts can come home with two other crewmen on ISS on the next return. And so the two-person crew went up on a Dragon capsule in September, and they're supposed to come back in February with the Starliner astronauts. The problem is that the next crew to launch was going to go on a new Dragon manned capsule. This would be the fifth in SpaceX's fleet. The trouble is that that capsule wasn't going to be ready in February as originally planned. So NASA delayed things for about 2 months so that SpaceX could get the capsule ready. And they were getting this capsule, they were really rushing it. It was actually supposed to fly in August. The result was, though, that as of December, they weren't going to be ready even in late March. So in the last month or so with Trump in power, they decided that rather than delay things even more and keep those Starliner astronauts up even longer, they've made a decision to swap the new capsule with the Endurance capsule that the Axiom tourist flight is going to use sometime in the spring. That capsule has been flown several times in space. It's ready to go. So if they swap it, they can then fly that capsule with the new ISS crew up actually in mid-March, which allows them to then return the previous crew with the Starliner astronauts about a week sooner than the previous schedule. So on its face, it looks like by doing this swap, SpaceX and NASA have improvised a way to get this next crew back quicker. But the problem really is that the reason they were delayed is because NASA and SpaceX made a decision to use the new capsule back last fall, and they really should have made the decision in December to swap the capsules then so that no delays had to happen. So this is actually this is a problem that was caused by both NASA and SpaceX by making a poor decision with the capsule. But either way, they're coming home, and SpaceX, because SpaceX has capsules and flies and can get things done, unlike Boeing and Starliner, they can do this kind of improvisation, and that's a good thing.
I want to connect this to the Boeing story overall to say this is the same troubled company with SLS. This is the same troubled company with crewed vehicle. But there's one detail about Boeing I want to mention that they've done right, or at least it's the opinion that they've done right, which is that they have the contract to maintain ISS, and they've done a good job, Bob.
Yes, once again, both ISS and SLS, which Boeing has done what it was set out, given a contract to do and done it well, those are both cost-plus contracts. And so they have like a blank check to get it done. And so that they can get it done, and they do it. They do get it done. The trouble is when they do a fixed-price contract, which is what the real world works under, Boeing has that Starliner. Boeing has an inability to function. And that's a bad sign for the future of that company.
Okay, I'm arriving at NASA headquarters. My name is Elon Musk. What have I done wrong?
Well, you haven't really done anything wrong. Because Musk is running the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, he's going to be sending auditors to NASA at some point to audit that agency like he's doing with every other agency. And one of the Democratic representatives in Congress has introduced sent a letter to NASA, to NASA's acting administrator, Janet Petro, demanding that she revoke access to the agency headquarters for Elon Musk because he might have some conflict of interest with his other contracts at NASA. And there is an actual conflict of interest. She points out that Petro should set clear and public ground rules, close quote, to keep Musk from getting proprietary information from other space companies. That's perfectly reasonable. But then she also goes on to say she wants the acting administrator to revoke his access to the agency headquarters because he's unelected. This is the talking point, one of the talking points of the Democrats, stupid talking points, because other than Donald Trump, nobody at the federal agency is elected, including Petro, including every NASA employee, including everybody, cabinet appointees. They're all unelected, and Musk is unelected as well. So it's just utterly stupid to make that claim. In addition, acting Administrator Petro does not have the power to revoke that access, since Musk has direct orders and authority from the president to do this kind of work. So she can't do that. But demanding that clear ground rules are set is a reasonable
Let's
thing.
Let's go to a good story, Bob. Rocket Lab. This is the coming rocket engineering company, Rocket Lab. It's a public company. You can see it on Wall Street, and Wall Street is delighted with its prospects. What have they done?
Rocket Lab is known most as a rocket company. They have the Electron rocket, which they've launched more than 50 times, and they have solid many contracts for it and a manifest for maybe doing as many as 20-plus launches this particular year. But what people have to remember is that Rocket Lab also does other things. It has a whole division that builds service modules for satellites or interplanetary missions. They're planning their own Venus mission using this. They call it Proton. A variation of that, they call Pioneer, is a service module that they have a contract with VARTA to build four such service modules, and they've already flown two of them on two of VARTA's orbiting capsules. VARTA is a company that puts up capsules that either does science research or manufactures things in the capsule, and the capsule is then returned to Earth with the manufactured product, pharmaceuticals as an example. And they've already launched two. The first has already been back on Earth with pharmaceuticals. The second is in space right now and is eventually going to do a hypersonic test for the military. And so Rocket Lab has built three of these service modules and is actually building the fourth for VARTA. And so that just indicates Rocket Lab's diversification as a company in the whole space business, and it makes them, therefore, a very, very solid space company into the future, John.
All right, another Chinese startup with an uncle in the Chinese Communist Party standing committee. Okay, good for them. What's it proposed to do independently, Bob?
It hasn't proposed. It's done it. This is a pseudo company. I don't call them real companies because everything's supervised by the Chi-Cons. But this is an independent pseudo company that has successfully now tested in orbit direct cell to satellite communications. We have Starlink is doing this. We have AST Space Mobile is doing this. In the West. Now China has a company that's successfully done this. In other words, the satellites function as a cell tower and they fill the gaps where cell towers are not present. And they have done an actual test. And what's even more interesting is they did the test communication with a smartphone with Thailand, because they're now working a deal with Thailand where Thailand will obtain cell-to-satellite communications with this pseudo-Chinese company using these satellites. And so that indicates the competition for this service is increasing, John.
And we go to an odd story, but okay. Pakistan has a rover, and it's going to fly on Chang'e 8's lunar mission. It's odd only because, Bob, Pakistan is a violent and extremely, extremely poor country. It is under the wing of the Chinese Communist Party, and it has inside of itself so many different forces and tribes that it's hard to believe that there's an audience for a rover on the moon, but there it is.
Chet, well, the story here is, and you pointed out that the Pakistan's under the thumb of the Chinese communists. And so Pakistan signed an agreement to become part of China's lunar base project. You know, they're trying to compete with the Artemis Accords and the American alliance. And so they've signed up a few countries, but it's kind of like Russia during the Soviet era. No one really wants to sign with them unless they're under the thumb of China. And so Pakistan signed this deal. And so China has worked out a thing where a very simple, small rover will so-called be built in Pakistan and attached to the Chinese Chang'e 8 lunar lander mission, which is going to fly in 2030. Now, this rover is probably very simple. I'll bet you that mostly China is going to be doing the work. Pakistan won't do much of it because you're right. They don't have the capabilities to do much of this kind of stuff. But it gives China the ability to say, our lunar base is international. You see, Pakistan's part of it. And it's all, you know, propaganda, Potemkin village type stuff, John.
That reminds me of NASA in the old days. They were always going around finding some new astronaut from some exotic place. Now the exotic places don't need NASA. They go right to the moon. Okay. A French rocket startup. What's significant here is that France is a very difficult place to start a new business because of the taxes, the regulation, the ceremony. And I can't remember France getting involved in the space race before.
All right, so this is an interesting story in a number of ways. The French startup, Maya Space, in a sense, is not a startup. It's a subsidiary of Airbus, a big French company, French European company, that builds planes and rockets and a lot of other things. And so Airbus realized there is now a competition for small sat rockets. Lots of German companies and a Spanish company are beginning to develop rockets in Europe to compete for business. And so Airbus decided to get involved, and it created its subsidiary called Maya Space. Well, Maya Space is building its own small rocket. It hopes to launch in 26, and it is now awarded a Spanish rocket engine startup, Arcadia Space, a contract to build the attitude thrusters that will help maintain the rocket's course when it flies and when it maybe its first stage comes back to Earth. And so what we have here is in Europe two different startups signing a deal to independently build rockets to make money and compete in Europe. And that's the really good sign here, that Europe is no longer having the European Space Agency build and do everything. Private companies are independently competing for the business, John.
And once more, Orbex is looking at Saxifort. This is the dance of the spaceports. Saxifort was approved, is my memory, is that correct?
All right, so what we got in Europe, in England, is two different competing spaceports, one in Sutherland, which is on the northern coast of Scotland, and the other one, Saxifort, which is on the Shetland Islands. Sutherland has basically been fighting headwinds, red tape headwinds, and local landowner headwinds that has slowed down its development. Orbex is a rocket startup, British rocket startup, that wanted to launch out of Sutherland. They built their rocket facility nearby. They signed a 50-year lease with Sutherland to make a space, their own launch pad facility. And they were going to do all their launches out of Sutherland, but they haven't been able to launch because of those headwinds. For example, they applied for their launch license in February of 22, 3 years ago, and the Civil Aviation Authority, the UK, has still not issued that launch license. Well, SpaceX in December announced it's not going to launch from Sutherland anymore. It's going to launch from the other spaceport, Saxifrage, because it's managed to get its spaceport license is complete from the CAA. And so they think they can launch by the end of the year. They've already sent a scouting team out there to start looking things over. We'll see if CAA gives them their launch license, as they hope. But that's the story. They've abandoned one spaceport in the UK for another.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black. Happy birthday. Your subscriptions and donations are most welcome.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.